Thank you, brothers and sisters, for helping and praying for us. I don't know what percentage to give you of your helps in what we do call foreign missions, but it's there, and you'll get before the Lord one day, and He'll say, "Well done." And you'll have to say, "When did we do that?" Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, did it even unto me. It's what our Lord has to say. Thank you for praying for us. I got information last night that my little great-granddaughter forever cracked her arm. So pray with me. They sent me a picture later from the emergency room. It had a wrapped and a sling on it. So pray for her. She's 2 years old in November. Will you open your Bibles to three passages? Romans chapter 15, and then in Ephesians. Romans chapter 15 will be our first reading when you find it, and Ephesians. Would you like to stand with me? Romans chapter 15. I'm reading this because near the close, I intend to use it to incorporate it into the message I believe the Lord sent me with for the church here at Cheetah. Romans 15, verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. Ephesians chapter 1:1-6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Chapter 2, verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Thank you. You can be seated. Acceptable. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That He sent Him forth, set Him forth. God set Christ forth to be the propitiation for our sins. That is, the atoning victim that satisfied God. So we are acceptable to God, made accepted in the Beloved Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go about with this gospel of God, the gospel of the grace of God of Jesus Christ, and people that will believe it, their offering up of themselves, I added that, will be acceptable unto God. We are made acceptable. Now, who does the accepting? God does. He accepts us in His Son, Jesus Christ. How can it be that we are acceptable unto Holy God? God's satisfied with the sacrifice of His Son. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to come up with something whereby we make ourselves acceptable unto God. We believe the sacrifice of Christ. Now, why would God accept us in Jesus Christ? And Brother Josue laid it out, and I just wound up with it. Because He loves us. He loves His Son. He loves the people, the elect that He gave unto His Son. And He loves us according to Christ's prayer in John 17. God loves us with the same love whereby He loved His Son, Jesus Christ. And I admit it to you in closing, how can that be? Now, this morning we want to take it to this acceptance in Christ gives us access unto God. Chapter 2, speaking of the Jew and the Gentile, verse 18, for through Him Jesus Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's what we are, the household of God. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And the foundation of the apostles in the epistle letter, it comes to this, the revelation that God gave to these apostles of who Christ really is. That's the foundation, what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 16. Verse 21, in whom all the building, so we are a household of God, we are building fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple of God. So we are a household of God, we are a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So we have access. I don't know, some of y'all are old enough to remember when we had to do computer work over DOS. You had 8 characters, and you had to have all 8 of them exactly right, or it would flash up, access denied. And so it is. I talk with people sometime, and they say they pray, and they may indeed pray. I said last night, if you want rain, pray for rain. It's no qualification. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. But the area in your life you need mercy, pray. God shows mercy on the good and evil. So these things are true, but we're talking about coming to God for salvation and coming to God for sanctification and coming to God in our service. We must have a way of access. How do you know, I've asked people, how do you know God even hears you? One fellow was pretty upset about it, and I said, well, let me illustrate. You come to my house and beat on the door, and there's not even a voice. No sound at all. How do you know I'm home? How do you know I'm interested in what you have to say? And so it is with God. Now, he is here this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Brother John, he promised us in Psalm 22 and Hebrews 2, that he'd come and sing in the midst of the congregation. So, Sister Martha, when we sing, and he's here singing with us, according to the Bible. When 2 or 3 of us are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. We don't have to faith him. We sure don't have to clap him down. Let's give God a big hand. Come on down, Holy Ghost. We've been in that kind of nonsense. But he's here. He promised us he'd be here. And so when it comes to talking to God, we have access. It is not denied. He will not deny. We stretch that song, that I will not be denied. Well, I don't know about that, but if you'd come to God through Jesus Christ, you have access. We have access, and that is true. We know that our gospel will be effective. Amen, Brother John, that's right. That's what God uses. When the gospel first went out in mighty power, it was the saints being scattered. Modern phrase is pushed out of their comfort zone. They were all scattered except the apostles. So when the gospel first went out in mighty power, it was the saints. One time Paul said so that Dr. Luke wrote, in that place, all they that dwelt in Asia Minor heard the gospel. Now we know reasonably. Be fair and reasonable. We know Apostle Paul didn't, and Dr. Luke didn't talk to everybody. Well, how did everybody in Asia Minor hear the gospel? The saints carried it out, right out with them. Now, we read in Romans 15, the assurance that the Apostle Paul was had that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable unto God. And that's a bloodless oblation, that offering. It's the offering up of themselves. And when we offer ourselves up to God through Jesus Christ, he accepts it. It's acceptable. Now, listen, this is not Carter's proverb. This is the Holy Bible, the inspired, God-breathed word of God. And so that fueled the fire in the apostle and in saints' hearts that somebody will hear the gospel and be saved. Because that's what God has ordained. That's what He has chosen. That's what He empowers. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is not the power of the Pope. It is not the power of the preacher. Sovereign Grace Baptist preacher is not the power of the preacher. It's not the power of the people. And it is not a powerful program. Listen to me. It is the power of God unto salvation. So listen, we can be ready and quick to give an answer to those that ask of us the hope in us. We can tell the people about the Lord Jesus Christ and be confident that as they believe, the offering up of themselves to God will be acceptable unto Him. This offering up of ourselves is portrayed in Romans chapter 12. Beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself unto God holy, acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. And on, we quoted that last night. Through Him, we read in chapter 2, for through Him, that is Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. It becomes my awkward joy occasionally to talk to a Jewish person. I had a business deal, brother, and a man wanted to show me what he had, and I gave him my estimate. We got out to the truck, and I said, now, the labor is firm, but the material estimate is good for 2 weeks. If you don't make a decision in 2 weeks, the materialist price may change. So as soon as you can, make up your mind. He said, I'm not giving you the job. I'm just taking estimates. And I said, well, if mine's too low, tell me now and I can go up. And we had a little conversation. Eventually, I was interested in if he was a Christian or not. He said, no, I am not. I said, why? You're a reasonable man, very successful in business and farming. Why are you not a Christian? His name is Abowitz. I never even considered. He said, I'm Jewish. I said, Jesus Christ was a Jew, salvation to the Jew first. And he stopped me and he said, I'm not interested in conversion. I just wanted a carpenter. And it's a long, long story. After you can start eating. But while I'm eating, I'll listen to you. And then when I get through eating, we'll talk about it. It's a wonderful story. But my point was this. We can be confident. As we share the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, people will accept it. Now, the multitude will not. And three, according to Christ's percentages in Matthew 13, three out of four that come under the direct influence of the gospel will not follow Christ. But that shouldn't stop us. And it shouldn't stymie us in our deliberate wanting to, wanting God to open the door so that we might have a word of utterance for people. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, well, let me say one more thing about this Jew and Gentile. They had a big dispute, much dissension in Acts 15, much disputing and debating, and it was on this matter of the Gentiles coming to God through faith in Christ. And it was not Judaism, it was not even converted Judaism. It was salvation under the new covenant in Jesus Christ. So these Jews and Pharisees that believe were arguing about it. You can go read it for yourself. And the brethren stood up and made this statement. If we will be saved, speaking of the Jew men, if we will be saved, we'll be saved even as they, speaking of the Gentiles. Now, in my thinking, that would be a reversal of the way he should have said it. I'm talking about access unto God. If the Jew man comes to God, he's going to come the way the Gentile man comes. Now, I thought he would say it like this. Now, if those Gentiles come to God, they're going to come the way we do. But he reversed it, meaning that the access unto God is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the Jew man has no edge on us there. Amen. The advantage he has was the oracles of God were given to the Jew. But the salvation that God gives comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the Old Testament Jew that offered a sacrifice by faith, the day that their sins were forgiven was the day Jesus Christ died. So the sins of that nation were forgiven in one day. That satisfied me. I don't know what your opinion and idea of that is. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead spiritually, but God caused us to sit together in the heavenly places. In Ephesians 2, it's presented like this: who we were, dead spiritually. What we did, we lived in our trespasses and sin. Who God is, but God, who is rich in mercy, and what God did. Now who we are in Jesus Christ. So we were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Talking about access unto God. And we are made near unto God by the blood of Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. What a thing to consider. That's when the pastor was loading me up with gratuities this morning. And we ought to think about that. We are special to God. We're special to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave us to Him before He laid the foundation of His galaxies and galaxies. Old Brother Slim Moore said, that, you know, that is before he done anything, wasn't it? He's 60-something years old, old man. Brand new saved. We started to study in the book of Ephesians, and he comes straight to me concerning us being chosen in Christ from before the foundation. That is before he done anything. I'm telling you, in the eyes of God, we are that special. That before he laid his foundation for his universe, he chose us in Jesus Christ. And it makes us special to God. Now, because we are accepted in the beloved Jesus Christ, we have access unto God. Look at it in Ephesians chapter 3. I want to start reading in verse 8 this time. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints. Consider this, Brother Josue. When Paul compared himself to the other apostles, he said, I'm the least. But when he compared himself to the saints at large, he said, I'm less than the least. It was interesting to me. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Now that's not a denomination, it's not the Roman Catholic business, not the Baptist business, it's not the Baptist building, it's the people, the saints. And the pastor was talking about throwing water on an oil fire. That's the work of the devil. He just makes the work of God more apparent. Yeah. And that's what God's doing, Brother Russell. He's showing principalities and powers, people in high places, how wise He was in selecting you, brother. That's how wise God is. Now, I have some critics. One of them lives nearby me. And we had a great, great turmoil and disturbance out of MacArthur, and it shook down to 11 people. And my critic in town, he caught me just right in front of an audience. He said, now what do you think about God sending you to MacArthur? I said, I think that's one of the wisest decisions God ever made. Well, he don't ever say, oops, I made a mistake. If you believe God set you here, and this Lee Inlaw Outlaw clan and one or two others, it's a work of God. Either it is a work of God or you just decided to bring it to this place. And if it's your decision, then y'all made a mess out of Brother Dean Pruitt's life. But it's not your decision, it's God's. You understand what I'm talking about? This is how wise God is. He has chosen by the church to show His manifold wisdom. Next verse. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sometimes we don't believe that. When things is not going our way and we can't really put a finger on why is this happening? It's God's eternal purpose. Now come on, fellas. Sometimes you have to practice what we say we believe. Since God is in control of everything, that includes me and everything that comes into my life. Now, I didn't think I needed my wife right here. Meow, 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 meow. Brother Barney Brown calls that the Sarah syndrome. But sometimes that's exactly what we need, brethren. No, let me change that. Now, not all the time my wife in my ear, I don't mean that. But everything that happens to me is what I need. And God has an eternal purpose in it, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now finally, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Our confidence and access is by the faith of Him. Now this is not the only place this phrase is in the Bible. One of the sweetest old deacons I ever knew, Brother Russell, asked me what did that mean, the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. So then what you have is the faith of Jesus Christ that He gave to you. Faith is a gift. Repentance and faith and praying and service and witnessing, all of these things, testifying, these are evidences that God has begun a good work in us. And this access that we have to God and confidence that we have in this access, it's the faith of Jesus Christ that He gives to us. That's the reason if the old song really means something, I would not be denied. It's because of this special touch and special portion of God's working in our hearts and minds and lives. We have that access, sister. Now, you know, I saw your eyebrow a while ago. Sometimes we say, why, Lord? If you know any time in the Bible that God answered that question, bring it to me. Most of the time we never know why, Sister Teresa. We just know that the I Am is doing this. And thereby we have access. Whatever it is, listen to me as I close. Whatever it is that happens and touches our life, the I Am God, the I Am Christ, not only is in control, He's controlling. And He orchestrates it to come across our life for this reason. So we communicate with Him. Access Him. Say, Lord, I don't understand this. Help me. I don't understand what Your purpose in me. A job or school or testifying to this person. I don't understand. Of course we don't. I used to teach a witness and visitation class. Now, I had me a little thing. I talk to people. When you go in somebody's home, survey it real quick and position yourself between them and the television. At least they'd be looking in your direction. That's just silly wisdom of man. All right, let me close with it. We have confidence. Why? God is satisfied with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have access to God through the faith of Christ. God has made us accepted to Him by His Son, Jesus Christ. We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. I preached some of this down at On Alaska. In the back bedroom of a young man that had cancer. He had 3 regimens of chemotherapy and nothing worked. And he begged his mom and daddy to carry him home, let him die in his bedroom. He was hot with fever, and the mother was a Christian, a friend of my sister. The daddy was not a Christian, a friend of my brother-in-law. And the Lord arranged and set it up so for I could go talk to him. It's a long, long story. I'll finish up with this. I talked to him down on my knee by the bed. And he grabbed my hand. He was hot with fever. And I talked to him about this, coming to God through faith in Christ and being acceptable. And I said to him, Bubba, do you think you have a better way to come to God? And he said, there can't be anything better than that. I said, is it about time for you to come to God through faith in Christ? And he said, I want to. Don't think I'm elevating myself. God orchestrated this, and praying people purposed it and set it up. I was just a great beneficiary of that to share with him the gospel that he knew. His mother had lived it before him. And he came to God through faith in Christ. My sister's pastor went by to visit with him, came back and reported to the church, it looks good for him. He's evidently repented toward God with faith in Christ. 2 weeks from the day I knelt by his bed, he died. I'm saying that to say this. Listen, God's in control of all this workings of His. No use us getting in a nervous religious jerk campaign. Just live it. Things come and go. One of the songs was, whether it's blessing or grief and sorrow, we just come to God. Glory and tribulation also, knowing what? It's working. It's going to work something in our life that we really, really want. Let's pray together. We're grateful to you, Lord, and thankful for everything, but mostly for this, that in a moment, in any and every situation, we can access you through the faith of Jesus Christ as He imparted and imparts to us His faith so that we can, out of our pitiful humanity and infirm humanity, even our infirm praying, we can come to you and access you and plead with you. The pastor closed with this last night. You can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. It's not at the coffee pot or at the ice cream bowl. It's a throne. And we come and bow before your throne. But it's not a throne of judgment and justice this morning. It's a throne of grace, whereby we can access you by the faith of Jesus Christ and find grace and mercy and help in our time of needs. Thank you for this brief time together with these precious saints that love you and love us. Thank you for their faith. Thank you for their labor of love. Thank you for them. Bless them. Give Brother Josue a liberty from your Holy Ghost as he comes to minister to us. We're praying for these this morning that are here. They've heard and they've seen the gospel that you've given to some of their families. They see it lived out in front of them. Now we ask you to convict them of it, that they the sinner, and convince them that you the Savior. Command light to shine in their dark, doomed, damned, deserving hearts. And grant them repentance unto life. We shut up to that and glad we can trust you and call out on you for their salvation. We know you do it according to your own purpose and will, and we bow to that and we rest in that. Ask you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.